You're now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Noonan. A Place of Refuge Noonan is located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, for more exclusive information and updates, download our church app, A Place of Refuge Noonan, or visit our church website at apor-noonan.org. Now, let's join in for today's message. Make no more
excuses. What is the book of Acts? On this morning, of course, Acts is in the New Testament. Let's notice the book of Acts on this morning. And let me say before we get to the book of Acts that I am excited about the word of God on this morning. I'm excited about the word of God. You say, Pastor, well, you're always excited about the word of God. Well, you're right. And that should be your testimony as well. Amen. I don't ever want to get to the point to where God's word no longer moves me or his word is no longer exciting to me. Amen. I love God's word. I love it whether he is speaking a blessing over me. I love it even when he is correcting me. I just learned to love God's word because one thing about God correcting that you have to understand is that his correction is always beneficial. I say his correction is always beneficial. Why is that important? Because when it comes to man may correct you and it may or may not be beneficial. Come on, somebody. It may or may not be right. But we know one thing about God. If God corrects us, then we know certainly that he is right and we are wrong. I thought y'all were going to finish that. I said we know of a surety when God corrects, when God rebukes, we know definitely that he is right and we are wrong. But some of us, we like to argue with correction. We like to argue with rebuke. But when it's coming from God, listen, directly or indirectly, we need to see it as a blessing. You need to see being corrected as a blessing. Amen. How many are older now when you look back on some correction your parents gave you that at the time they gave it to you, you didn't understand, but now you understand better? How many understand now? How many understand better what your parents were trying to do? Amen. I know I do. You just get clarity when you get older. You understand the things they were trying to instill in you. You understood why they disciplined you the way that they do. And you truly begin to understand that it is out of love. It is out of love. And, of course, the Bible says that he rebuked those that he what? That he loved. And so we need to always understand that when God is rebuking, again, directly or indirectly. And, of course, it takes maturity to understand it. Or to even receive it when it's coming indirectly. A lot of us, we love when God just rebuke us directly. But often God will use someone to rebuke you. Amen. But either way, whether it come directly from God or indirectly, if it pertains to God, then it's a blessing. Amen. It's a benefit. Notice the book of Acts and the 12th chapter. Going to read several verses of scripture. We are not accustomed to reading as many as I'm going to read today. But nevertheless, that's what the Holy Spirit has directed me to do in order that we might understand the entire story that is taking place in Acts, the 12th chapter, though we will not deal with every single verse. But notice Acts 12, starting at verse number 1, we'll conclude reading at verse number 11. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. If you're taking any kind of notes, you want to keep in mind that word harass. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. It's amazing how evil folk will do something evil. And because folk like it or applaud it, they'll do more evil. Oh, God, they were already teaching, right? I said sometimes folks will do evil, and because folk applaud the evil that they do, they will do more evil, or they will become more wicked in their deeds. And because he saw, again, that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Notice that word, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, you know, we want to take a note of about to bring him out. That night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Oh, Lord, which opened to them of its own accord. We ain't talking about no wood gate. We ain't talking about a plastic gate that just so happened to blow over. But we talking about an iron gate open to them or for him of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Verse number 11. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." I want you to notice verse number 11. This is where we're going to pull our subject from. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." Remember how the Bible talked about Herod intended to bring him out. Herod had a plan of executing Peter. But we see that God intervened and granted to Peter deliverance, as the saints of the church was consistently praying. Notice that when it came to Herod and the Jews, the Bible says in the end clause of verse 11 that they had an expectation. I want y'all to notice that. Notice it again. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel," watch this, "and delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." Notice Peter knew of a certain that God had delivered him from the expectation of the Jewish people or his enemies. Notice that Peter's enemies were expecting to do something to him. They had planned to do something. They had a strong desire to do something to him, because again, they were his enemies, but God delivered him. And based upon that, I want to talk from the subject, delivered from my enemy's expectations. I want to deal with being delivered from your enemy's expectations. So again, look at somebody, tell them the subject this morning. Tell them we're making it personal. Delivered from my enemy's expectations. Look at somebody else and tell him, delivered from my enemy's expectation. Oh, look at one more person. Tell him what my enemies thought would happen to me. Oh, just look at him and say, it ain't going to happen. Oh, look at somebody and say, it ain't going to happen. Tell somebody what my enemies plan on doing to me. They not going to be able to do what they want to do. Oh, and you ought to give God a praise for it. I said you ought to give God a praise for delivering you from your enemies' expectations. And many of us know that God has did it for us in times past. And so we're going to deal with being delivered from our enemies' expectations. And there are people who feel as if they have no enemies. I said there are people who feel that they have no enemies. But I want to say to us, no matter how wonderful you strive to treat everybody, all of us have enemies. All of us have enemies. You never want to be to the point to where you are naive or simple-minded, to the point to where you believe everybody likes you. You don't ever want to be to the point to where you think everybody wants to see you do good in life. Oh, we may wish that to be the case, but it is simply not the case. Am I right about it? How many recognize that you have enemies? Oh, we have enemies that are known and we have enemies that are unknown. But certainly when you come and you begin to do the will of God, you are going to have enemies. And I found out the more that you strive to treat some folk right, or the more that you strive to treat them better, the more they unleash upon you evil, because evil is what's in their heart to do. Oh, have you ever just looked at a certain person and just said, well, maybe if I treat them a little bit better, that they'll change. Maybe if I let them know that what they're doing, what they're saying is hurting me, maybe they'll stop doing what they're doing and they'll stop saying what they're saying. But even after all of the revelation that you gave them, they still didn't like you. I need to drop one on you that there will be folk who will not like you, and they don't even know the reason why they hate you. Oh, they cannot come up with a valid excuse for why they mistreat you. They don't know why they roll their eyes at you, but it is not done by accident. I wonder, have anybody ever rolled their eyes at you? You knew they rolled your eyes. You questioned them about their eyes, but they deny the rolling of their eyes. They said, I wouldn't look at you. I wasn't studying you. I wasn't thinking about you. But you wasn't crazy. You know they roll their eyes. But sometimes folk don't recognize that it is a spirit controlling them not to like somebody that they need to love. And I want to drop one on her. You better get out of not liking folk. You better learn to love everybody, including your enemies. Oh, somebody may want to shout, help me, Lord. Because everybody is not easy to love. Can I preach it? Everybody is not easy to love. Some folk, the only way you can love them is with the strength of God. Well, God helping you, God empowering you. Watch this, not to do to them the thing that they're doing to you. But certainly, again, we all have enemies, and our enemies have expectations. Our enemy have expectations. Expectation number one deals with the fact that our enemies have a strong belief that something will happen. They have a strong belief that something will happen to us. And a lot of time they want to be the ones that do to us what they desire to see happen. But then you have enemies who try to be slick. They don't want to do it, but they want to set up somebody to do their dirt. They, in other words, they want to find the rock. They want to hand the rock to somebody, get them to throw the rock while they hide their hand and act as if they knew nothing about the throwing of the rock. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm teaching real good right now. And so they have a desire, a strong desire to see something happen to you. In other words, when an enemy has an expectation, they also have a plan or an ideal that they desire to execute in order to hurt you, in order to harm you, or in order to cause something bad to happen in your life. And anytime an enemy has an expectation to do evil towards us, then they also have what we call anticipation. They also anticipate it happening. And how many know when you anticipate something, you go ahead and visualize it. You go ahead and see it happening. Now, I want some of you to just sit there and act like you ain't ever did nobody wrong. I want you to just sit there and act like you ain't ever visualized hurting somebody. I want you to just sit there and act like you ain't had a Will Smith moment. I want you to just sit there and act like you have never visualized slapping somebody. You may have a testimony that, Pastor, I never slapped anybody, but it doesn't mean you never visualized it. Oh, can I preach it right? Sometimes we've had an out-of-body experience where we seemingly jumped out of our body, beat somebody down, and then jumped back in our saved bodies. Have you ever did it before? Visualize hurting somebody. Visualize doing to somebody what they give 4, 5, and 10 years for doing. That's what you're talking about. When we wasn't saved, yeah, but also, anybody ever prayed to get your mind right? Anybody ever had to pray so you didn't commit a crime? Anybody had to pray so you didn't cuss? Anybody ever had to pray hard so that you didn't throw something? Be seated. Now, some of us failed at because we threw it. We threw something. We broke something. We cut something. We hit something. Am I right about it? We gotta make this plain this morning. Because one thing that I found out, that you need to respect your enemies. Hold on. There are certain enemies that are deserving of respect because of the capabilities that they possess, because of the knowledge that they possess. Anyone who's in a fight and they do not respect a bona fide opponent is likely to be defeated. Because you didn't recognize the capabilities of your enemy. Oh, I'm teaching good this morning. I believe I'm helping myself. See, because I know the capabilities of my enemy, I don't skip prayer. Because I know what the enemy is capable of doing. Oh God, I said I get in prayer every day. I ask God to help me every day because I've seen what some of my enemies can do. Come on, somebody, you have to respect your enemy. How many know that's right? I'm not telling us to glorify the enemy, but you have to put respect upon the enemy in the sense that you know his capabilities. When you study the Bible, there's no way you will not respect what the enemy can do in the form of Satan and demons when you see their capabilities. You have to, and it causes you to be on guard. It causes you to do the things that you need to do because you know there's somebody seeking to destroy you. You know there's somebody that wants you to quit. You know there's somebody that see that you're doing a good work. They see that you're on the wall. They see that you're rebuilding and they want you to come down. But if you know the capabilities of your enemies, then you are watching them. Am I right about that? I often study my enemy. Yes, sir. What is an enemy, Pastor? An enemy, number one, is a person or thing opposed or hostile towards someone. A person or thing opposed or is hostile toward someone. Number two, an enemy is a person or thing that seeks to harm or weaken somebody. See, an enemy wants to harm you. Your enemy wants to weaken you. And so we have to understand again our enemies. Even to the point again to where we study our enemies. Know what he's trying to do, but I'm not going to let him do it. You got to know when the enemy trying to enter your house and cause confusion. And you got to recognize that I'm not going to give place to this demon. I've got to know that he's trying to cause confusion. So I have to be mindful of what I say. But because some of us don't recognize what the enemy is up to, you indirectly or inadvertently help the enemy do his job. Oh, come on. I break it down. He's trying to cause confusion in the house, and you're not helping the situation by the things you're saying, or by the things that you're doing. You're helping the enemy do his job. And I've been guilty of helping the enemy do his job. He's trying to cause confusion in my house, but I'm saying and doing things that's not promoting unity in my house. Oh yeah, come on. Everything that tears down something is not always from the outside. Things get tore down sometimes from the inside. It's an inside job. It's what you doing. It's what you saying. It's how y'all treating one another. Am I right? But make no mistake about it. We have strong enemies. You know, you have weak enemies that it don't take much to defeat them. Don't take much to knock them off course. They got an expectation, but you can thump them real hard and they'll lose their expectation. But not every enemy is like that. There are strong enemies that war against every aspect of our lives. There are strong enemies that war against us in our minds, wars against our families. They war against our marriages. They war against our children. Come on, somebody. And again, hear me, they're strong enemies. Not to be taken lightly. There are enemies that will get after you. And they'll continue after you despite you praying. You done called up your prayer partner. The one that when you call them, you get results. But you done spoke to your prayer partner 2 or 3 times y'all been praying. But still, this enemy is persistent. Woo! I know there are some enemies. Some of y'all, it's like I'm going over your head. There are some enemies that'll fight you. And if they can't fight you and get you while you are woke, there are certain enemies that will fight you in your sleep. Anybody know anything about that? They'll come at your mind. When you were woke, you were binding demons. You were casting stuff out. Knowing it not to be the will of God for you to think like this. So your thought only lasts 5 minutes. But then the enemy will come at you in your dream. And you'll have a dream that seemingly lasts about 2 hours of you doing that which you have no business doing. Oh, I know you're full of the Holy Ghost, but have you ever had a dream that was not of God? Ooh, I want to break it down. I need to break it down. I wonder if anybody married in here ever had a dream that when you awoke from it, you couldn't share it with your spouse. Wasn't going to go over well. And they shook you and woke you up. What's wrong with you? You couldn't tell them where you was at. Couldn't tell them what you was doing and who you was doing. And some of you out there looking like, Pastor, I could tell mine. They would understand. Y'all ready to deal with a little bit of it? Let's talk about strong enemies. Number one, I want you to understand what I have already said, but I want to reiterate it. When it comes to strong enemies, they are knowledgeable and capable of being successful. Strong enemies are knowledgeable and capable of being successful. See, when a strong enemy gets at you, I don't know, for some reason the anointing is on that word, get at you. You ever had a dog or something get at you? Made you run faster than you thought you could? You didn't know you could hit fifth gear no more until that Doberman was on your trail. And then you hit a gear you didn't know you had. But see, understand that our enemies are knowledgeable. Just like many of us, especially myself, I have to study the enemy to help others defeat their enemies. But at the same time, you have to understand that your enemy studies you. That's what makes a strong enemy strong. They know you. It's easier to defeat somebody when you study them. When you know their weaknesses. Then I'm going to come at you where I feel like you weak. Going to war at you in an area where you show weakness. And I've studied how to defeat you. Are y'all listening? See, the enemy has a strategic plan of how to defeat every one of us. He has a plan. And a lot of time when you slip up, mess up, do something you shouldn't do or whatever, often that has been a plan that the enemy has been working for months, even years, to get you to do something. Oh God, I know I'm teaching right, that you don't need to do. But it doesn't always start off by getting you to move from A to Z. No, the enemy recognizes about you. There are certain things you said you wouldn't do. There are certain places you said you wouldn't go. There are certain things you promised not to go back to. There are certain people you disconnected from that you said you're not going to give the time of day to again. And so the enemy know if he going to get you to where he ultimately wants you to be, then he has to work on you. He has to do it in stages. Anybody know about warfare? Enemy don't always just come with everything, but he's moving in stages. Working on your mind for a set amount of time. With Jesus, it was 40 days and 40 nights. Come on, somebody. And he went at Jesus when he was fasting. Are you listening? See, understand. The enemy knows how to use words and other resources to produce results. The enemy knows how to use words and other resources to produce results. And somebody may say, well, Pastor, words don't hurt me. Woo! Can I be honest? There are times that words hurt worse than licks. Sticks and stones may break my bone, but words would never hurt me. That's a lie. Now we can grow to the point in God. We can mature in God to where we don't allow words to hurt us. But to just say in and of itself that words don't hurt. No, 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 no. Words damage. Are you here? Words damage people. Words have hurt people for days. Things that were said to people by an enemy. Somebody didn't mean them no good. It hurt them for days. There are words that have been said that hurt people for months. And sadly, there are words that have been spoken to people that have hurt them all their lives. They can't get over or beyond what was said. I wonder, have you ever had something said to you that it stayed with you for more than a day? It hurt you so bad that you could not get it out of your mind. You woke up one day telling yourself how good you look. The weight you have lost, you seen it all, you saw your hard work paying off. I know I look good. And then somebody called you ugly. Somebody said, you so ugly, that's the reason nobody wants you. And what they said, though you tried in that moment to pretend that it bounced off. But really it didn't. That stayed with you. Things that parents said to adults when they were children followed them throughout their life. Words. The enemy often uses words to hurt people. Words to damage people. See, it's quiet in here. One reason it's quiet because God is dealing with those who have been hurt by words. But at the same time, God is dealing with people who hurt people by your words. Words can inflict much harm upon people. And our enemies often use words again to get inside of our head. But then there are strong enemies that use kind words. But kind words don't always equal kind deeds. Woo. So with some folk, you have a person who is two-faced. Ooh, they speak kind words to your face, but behind your back, they're doing things to hurt you. Tell your neighbor, you can't be so naive that you believe every kind word somebody says to you. Oh, I know the Lord helping us. I say, you can't believe every kind word that is said. Well, that's my friend. Are you sure that's a friend? Kind words don't always equal kind deeds. There are folk who wish you bad. But when they see you, they talk like they've been praying for you. Tell you in your face, girl, you look good. And then step away from you. I got to move on, but some of us acting like we ain't even ever been two-faced. One thing bothered me is when church folk act like they've been saved all day. You know, a pastor get to preaching on something and saints be like, I can't relate to being two-faced. Some of us had to get delivered from being two-faced. And sadly, some of the most two-faced, mean-spirited people you will ever meet, you will meet them at church. Woo, I have encountered nice people at the club. I've dealt with people who were more friendly at the club than some folk who claim to be saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's deal with it. Are y'all ready to deal with some scriptures? Some of y'all looking like pastors, just let the Lord have his way. Yeah, because the teaching has to come because I'm determined that my enemies are not going to see what they want to see. I'm determined of that. I know my enemies have an expectation. But see, when you start getting the word and you start receiving the word, I want to tell somebody that what your enemies are planning to do, God will deliver you from the expectation. Oh, can I drop it? Of all of your enemies.
Can I preach it right? God will make folks out to be a liar because what they said would happen to you. God is going to do the opposite of what they wanted to see. They wanted you to go down, but God said the devil is a liar. You're going higher. I thought y'all were ready then. I said, I thought you were ready. God is going to take the plan of your enemy and ruin your enemy's plan. God is going to take what your enemy tried to do to you and he's going to let somebody do it to
you. It's a sure enough word in the house this morning. Because God knows somebody dealing with enemies. Notice Psalm 7. Let's deal with it a little bit. Notice Psalm 7. We're talking about delivered from my enemies' expectations. Psalm 7, verse number 1. Lord, I want to reiterate, we want to be wise. I don't want to know my enemies has an evil expectation, but I'm doing things to help my enemy. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want nobody wishing that I go down, but I'm making decisions to keep myself down. I don't want to be nobody talking about, yeah, they got a curse on me. No, you got a curse on yourself. Because at the end of the day, no matter what somebody speak, it's ultimately my decisions that determine whether I'm up or down, rich or poor, sad or happy, busted. Look at somebody, because I don't know where they at, but I know they in here. Look at somebody, if you don't mind, and just tell them, stop helping your enemies. If you helping them. Look at Psalm 7, verse number 1. Oh, Lord, my God. Psalm 7 and 1. Is the psalmist crying out? Is the psalmist crying out? This is David. He said, oh, Lord, my God. In you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me. Deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver. Did David know his enemy's capabilities? I said, did David know his enemy's capabilities? Listen to it again. Oh, Lord, my God, in you I put my trust. See, he's having to do something so that the expectation of his enemy don't come to pass. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me. Give me a way of escape. Rescue me, God. Cause me to recover from what I'm going through. But notice it. Least they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver. Notice David recognizes that his enemy is capable, listen, of tearing him in pieces. This is physical. He recognized that the enemy, like a lion, can tear him, can rip him apart. But remember, we're not so much focusing on the physical right now as we are words. Words can tear you apart. Words can rend you in pieces. Words can break you. Words can break your spirit. You can have a comeback spirit. But the right words spoken to you by an enemy can break your spirit. Can depress you. Pursuing a heart desire until somebody said something to you that tore you in pieces. In reference to the reason why you will never have what you ultimately desire. And those words tore you in pieces. What a doctor says to you can tear you in pieces. Can shred you up. But notice he understands the capabilities of his enemies. This is the reason he says to God, I put my trust in you so that you will deliver me. Watch this. From that which I cannot deliver myself from. Notice this, nor any other man. Woo, tell your neighbor, there are some things you go through that man cannot deliver you. Tell him, including yourself. Anybody ever tried to deliver yourself? Anybody ever tried to be your own rescuer? Anybody ever tried to throw yourself a lifeline? You threw it, but it didn't have air in it. You threw it, but it did not help, because this was something that you could not deliver yourself from. Woo, when I look back at my life, I know I'm only where I'm at because God sent deliverance. I said he sent deliverance. If he would not have sent deliverance, I would still be gambling. I would still be a whoremonger. But he delivered me from that which I could not deliver myself from. One of the worst mistakes people make is being under attack by an enemy, but they rely on themselves for deliverance. There are some things we ain't smart enough to get out of. Somebody didn't like that. I said, there are some things we ain't smart enough to get out of. Notice how clever we was to get in a situation. But then sometimes you find it more difficult to get out. And there are some things we're not coming out of unless we look to God for deliverance. Some things have had some people in here for too long for you to continue thinking that you are the answer for your deliverance. No, that enemy that's fighting you is too strong for you. And that enemy is capable of tearing you into pieces. Can we go farther? Notice Psalm 27. Notice Psalms 27. Psalms 27. Somebody really needs to pay attention if you want to get free. It's one thing to say you want to be free. It's another thing to do what you need to do to ensure, watch this, your freedom. Did you hear me? I didn't just say years ago that I was tired of being broke. I started giving like I was tired of struggling. I started seeding like I was tired of struggling. I started being faithful like I was tired of going through the same thing. Not being able to possess certain things. I got tired, but my tiredness was met with my actions. Some folks are holler all day. They tired of something. But you won't see them doing what they need to do to be free. How many know that's true? I said, how many know that's true right there? You can say all day with your mouth, you tired of something. You want to get away from something. You want to get free from something. But until you willing, listen to me, to put the work in, you may not be as tired of it as you think. Can I break it down? Because sometimes you can just learn how to struggle. Sometimes you can learn how to be down. Sadly, some folk have just learned how to be unhappy, and they know moments when they need to front. It's called settling. A lot of folks settle. I'm not going to have what I desire, so I'll settle for this. God has ultimate deliverance. But because you won't trust him, then you're going to settle for what you can do. Ever so many folk in the church stay bound in things that, watch this, you actually have people who love them who are more tired of seeing them in that place than they really are. You praying harder for them than they are for themselves. You being more watchful of their decisions than they are. And sometimes you got to tell them, look, you make another dumb decision. I'm tired of you calling everything I do dumb. Stop doing dumb stuff because you told me you were tired of such and such. So what you doing ain't going to help. Woo. You can't say you want to be delivered from somebody, but you're always chasing them. I want free from them, Pastor. Leave them alone then. Block their number. Do something to let them know, look, me and you, we done. We over. Well, Pastor, I'm over them, but I'm trying to win them. Look, you ain't going to be the one to win them. Psalm 27. Oh, yes, sir. Notice Psalm 27, another Psalm of David. David says in Psalm 27 and 11, teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. See, here go that word again. When your enemies are trying to get at you, you don't need to be going down a path of confusion. Come on, you need to go down a smooth path. In other words, when folk trying to do to you harm and danger, you need to know the way in which you're going. You need to know what you're doing is what God is telling you to do. So no matter how many traps your enemy set for you, if you stay on the smooth path, God gonna cover every hole. And even if he allowed you to fall in a hole, he'll do a Joseph for you. He'll make sure that there's no water in the pit that they throw you in. So there's no... You better go back and read Joseph again. God was in that from the beginning. The Bible said there was no water in the pit that they chose to throw him in. God made sure I ain't going to let the boy drown. I got a recovery for him. I got an escape for him. I got a deliverance for him. I ain't going to bless him right here. I'm going to bless him in Egypt. I'm going to raise her up over here. I'm going to let her go through this, that, and the other. But I'm going to do what I promised. I'm in the cold, but I'm getting excited. I'm in the cold, but I'm getting excited. And anybody would get excited if you ever had God deliver you from the expectation of your enemies. Man, it excites me when God show up and fight for me. It excites me when God tell me, you go sit down, I'll slap him. You go sit down, I'll deal with him. I'll get him. You rest. You go to sleep, I'll work on him. Tap two folds if you don't mind and tell them God will fight for you. Man, I'm trying to close, but tell somebody God will fight for you. Somebody, I need to drop a 911 on you. He'll fight for you to have what he told you you could have. God will fight for you at the bank. God will fight for you that you get that land. God will fight for you that you get that car. God will fight for you that you get your healing. He'll fight that you get your deliverance. That's what's wrong with some of them. Every time we in a battle, we trying to fight. We trying to do all the fighting. Many times you done got beat up, you know. Sit down. Let God show you what to do. So if you throw a right hook, it's because God said, now throw a right hook. You do that. Do everything he tells you to do. I've had enemies get at me. And God said, you need to do everything that I'm telling you to do. And they still at me. But I'm staying on the smooth path. I know stuff they doing that they don't know I know they doing. But I'm just staying on the smooth path. Do not deliver me, verse 12, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, as such as breathe out violence. Do you see it? His enemies was lying on him. Listen, not everybody that lie on you know how to lie. Some folk tell lies that's not even believable. Y'all pastor cussed me out. No, I know pastor didn't cuss you out. Ain't y'all pastor about 5'10"? Drive such and such car. He milk caramel. Got his hair braided in dreads. Yeah, that man cussed me out. And see, you know right then, oh, that's a lie. Because you already know what I tell him. That's bald head. That's ain't got a lick of hair on his head. I don't know who they talking. He dried it, but they made more than one of them cars. I don't know who cussed him out, but it wasn't pastor. Woo, but tell your neighbor, then on the other hand, there are folk who know how to lie and make a lie believable. Listen to me. That's when some of y'all have often believed lies that people told you about me. They offered you no evidence, but they crocodile tears of how I supposedly hurt them. But they didn't tell you the whole story. They mixed a little truth with a bunch of lies. Ooh. And see, David knows that a liar can be dangerous. Some of you have hated people over lies. Watch this. Some of you have so believed people's lies that you confronted good people over a lie. I just got to know, did you say this? You should know me better than this. I'm going to say how the old folk, you said, you got to know the dog that brings the bone. Some stuff I ain't even going to entertain. If you don't know me by now, hey, it is what it is. But I'm not finna sit up here and defend myself over lies. I know I'm teaching right. I got to close it though. But one thing you never want to do is try to chase down every lie that somebody tell on you. You know why? Sooner or later you're going to get caught up looking bad, trying to set what's wrong right. You have to let God set what's wrong right. Watch it in His timing. You know I'm right about it. Folks will lie on you on the job and you'll get reprimanded over the lie. Don't lose your job for them. Just know I got to be wise dealing with this hypocrite. Got to be wise when I talk to them. No, we ain't going to talk one-on-one. We need a mediator. We need a witness. I'll call you back when I got somebody that could be in the meeting with us. Well, I'll meet with you, but we're going to record the meeting. We got to do something because you're a known liar. But notice verse 13, David said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David almost quit over what liars were saying. Know your enemy's capability. Back in Acts 12 as we close. Ooh-wee. Some of y'all going to leave. They say, Pastor, I'm ready for my end. My enemies ain't going to see what they wanted to see. They ain't going to get the victory. And in Acts 12 and 11, Acts 12 and 1 through 11, the Jews and Herod had imprisoned Peter, intending to kill him because Herod saw that it pleased the Jews. So he took Peter, put him in prison, bound him between soldiers, had him chained with two chains, intending for the next day to execute him. Peter's enemies had expectation. We gonna do it on this day. This is the day of Peter's death. But look at somebody and shout, but God. Look at somebody else and shout, but God. When your enemies have a plan, when your enemies want to do something, when your enemies are lying, when your enemies are scheming, when your enemies are shady, when your enemies are haters, but who? But who? Listen, God sent an angel. Listen, this New Testament, this after the Holy Ghost, one of our biggest problems is trying to limit God and how he deliver us. Peter didn't have that problem. He knew the execution was scheduled the next morning, but he so knew the God that he trusted that the angel found him sleeping, resting easy. Woo! The angel came in the prison without an invitation. The angel came without signing the visitor list. The angel came without saying to his enemy, I'm here to get Peter. God know how to deliver his folk. God know how. God know when to bring you out. God know when you done had enough. God know when your enemies have did enough. And he sent his angel. And the Bible said when the angel told Peter, arise, that a spoken word from an angel or a messenger cause his chains to fall. See, that's how God do the pastor, the angel of the house, the messenger. God will give me a word and I will speak the word and chains will fall off of people. Hold on. Folk will get deliverance without oil on them. Folks will get delivered without hands being laid on them. I ain't against the oil. I ain't against the laying on of hands. But God delivers his people often through a spoken word. The chains fell off. He got to the iron gate, which was supposed to be that which you could not escape from. But tell your neighbor, when God in it, strange stuff happens. Woo, I'm trying to call, but tell your neighbor, when God is in it, when God get involved, strange stuff starts happening. Woo, strange stuff starts happening in your life. Stuff you can't explain. Stuff folk wouldn't believe. How did you come out, girl? God did this right here. I don't believe that. I knew you wouldn't, but I told you anyhow. He does strength. Listen. The gates open by themselves. Led Peter out. Then the angel disappeared. Then Peter said, now I know that the Lord has delivered me from all the expectation of Herod and the Jews are religious people. See, God is delivering his people from their enemies' expectation. And the Holy Ghost told me to preach to God's people. Only do what God tells you to do. And he will not allow your enemies' expectations to come to pass. Listen, and he backs it up with Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed shall. Tell your neighbor, when weapon form, that's an enemy's expectation. But whatever they wanted to do won't prosper. Whatever they tried to do won't prosper. And I'm done. Give him a praise. I'm done.
We pray that you are blessed by today's message. Be sure to listen and share other messages available through our podcast outreach. We thank you for all of your past, present, and future support for our ministry. And remember, Jesus is a refuge.